The very concept of being united by hierarchy caught me off guard. It actually gave me the impression that my assumption was that hierarchy is distancing, not uniting. So I think that's an important thing to keep in mind, that there is nothing inherently negative about status differences. There's also nothing inherently positive about connection. You can use connection or equality as a way of establishing positive feelings of connection, but you can also overdo connection so that people feel impinged upon. And an example that I like to use here is one that was given to me by my colleague Ron Scollin, who has done research among Athabascan Indians in Alaska. And he once quoted to me a statement made by an Athabascan Indian woman who said that, she said it in a very offhand way. She said, you know, when you're in a close relationship, you really have to make a lot of extra effort to look for the positive things about the other person, to, you know, focus on the neat things about them that you really like, as a way of guarding against the resentments and negative things that always come up when people are close. So to her, the idea of closeness inherently implied something negative, whereas to us, closeness, I think, we would take to be something inherently positive. There are two themes that come out in these examples of kids, and that will also run through all the examples that I'll be giving in my succeeding lectures of adult women and men in our daily lives. One is the role of talk in women's relationships, where boys and men may focus more on action. And the other is the tendency of women in their talk, women and girls, to focus on the connection level of talk. Is this bringing us closer or pushing us farther apart? Where boys are more inclined to focus on the status level. That is this putting me in a one-up or a one-down position? I have one more example I'd like to read that came from an observation that one of my students wrote that shows how this tendency to use talk on the part of women and to use action on the part of men can carry through into young adulthood. And this is still kids at play, but these are much older kids. This student was named Erica Dukes, and this is how she described her observation. At my friend Matt's house this weekend, something happened that made me laugh, as well as reminded me of what we've discussed in class about men being action-oriented. Saturday night, after a party, a group of us went to Matt's house to hang out before going home to bed. I and the other girls proceeded to sit down on the couch, and we began talking about the night, what we thought was fun, what we wished had happened, etc. I was in the middle of giving my friend Sarah advice about a boy, and see, girls do give advice, when all of a sudden the coffee table was pushed out of the way and the guys began to wrestle, throwing each other onto the couch and pushing each other off chairs. It was funny for me to see my big guy friends wrestling as if they were five-year-olds, but it also struck me that this is how we chose to relax. The girls began talking and the guys got up and started play fighting. My friends and I definitely fell into our gender patterns that night. And Erica also adds a little parenthetical remark here with a little smiley face. How stereotypical. And this is the tension that we'll be balancing here, that we want to describe patterns as we see them, but we don't want to take these descriptions as prescriptive or stereotypes, that is, expecting them when we don't actually see them, which is how I would define a stereotype, something that you believe without any actual observation to justify it. So what I've shown in these examples that I've given of kids is that the conversational rituals that become quite automatic for us as we're using language as adults, what seems to us simply the way to say what we mean, the way to do what we want to do, actually have their basis, have their seeds in ways that we use language playing with our friends as kids. So our socialization as kids is the earth, you might say, in which the seeds of language rituals are planted that sprout and then become developed and become our basis for communicating with each other when we think we're just using language to do what we need to do throughout our lives. In the next lecture, I'll be giving you some more classic examples of the kinds of frustrations that women and men encounter growing up, and you'll see how the kinds of patterns that I showed you in this lecture among children play out in conversations between adult women and men throughout our lives.
This ends Lecture 2. If you borrowed this course from a public library and would like your own copy of the course guide for future reference, call Recorded Books at 1-800-636-3399, and we'll send you a free copy. A shipping charge will apply.